Welcome back to the Open Cut Podcast. It is Monday, May 1st, and it is fight week for UFC 288, Sterling versus Cejudo. But before we go there, we did have a fight night this past weekend, Song versus Simone. Great main event. Great main event. The fight between Ricky Simone and Song Yadong went 5 rounds. Yadong gets a finish in the fifth round. Looks great the entire fight. Has all the answers for Ricky Simone. Has the power. Has the striking. Has the defense. He looked great. He looked great. This is a win against another top 10 bantamweight for him. Don't know how much it's going to push him up the ranks, but it really secures his spot as a top flight bantamweight.
Yeah, especially coming off of the TKO doctor stoppage that he had against Sandhagen. I mean, you know, he was in that fight. You know, who knows how that could have turned out. And again, yeah, I mean, this is another guy that put on one of his best performances. Ricky Simone is not an easy cakewalk for anybody. And between finding the timing, beating him up on the feet, dealing with the scrambles on the ground, we know how strong Ricky is. I mean, I talked about it last week saying that I thought Ricky would use a lot of wrestling, be able to control on the ground, maybe, you know, just bulldog him, you know, use the strength. But Song's defense and, you know, just having the feet and the timing, I mean, he pieced him up so much that Ricky had to worry about the feet. And he got dropped twice. You know, he got dropped early in the fight and then obviously into the fifth. I mean, just poured it on and laid the shots on. And yeah, I mean, it was a one-sided fight. I mean, Song would have walked away with a decision if he didn't get a finish, but getting a finish looks even better. I agree with you. I don't know how much it's going to help him in that division, but putting another win in his cap, now being able to call out some more guys, potentially have some higher level fights. I mean, again, churning up the bantamweight division and another fun fighter to keep watching.
I believe he called out Cheeto, said run it back,
Why
because that
not?
first fight was so close. I think that's an awesome fight to make right now for
I
both
do.
those guys. He had the win against Cheeto, but Cheeto's got the higher ranking.
Yes. Yeah, it's
That's
a
an
benefit
opportunity
for
for Cheeto
both.
to get that win back at, coming off of a loss. I think it makes a lot of sense for both of
Yeah.
them, and I think it's a great fight because
It's
both those
very good
dudes
fight.
bang.
Yeah, and that's gonna thing is you line those two guys up, it's gonna be a monster fight.
And you
It's
make
gonna
it
be a
five
fun.
rounds.
And I was just gonna say, make it five, headline a fight night. It's gonna be, you know, like you said, Vera's gonna want to get that back because he thought he won it anyway. Song's going to want to try to beat him twice. And really, I mean, you beat Cheeto, then you're really talking about names. You're really talking about being in title contention. And at the same time, you know, I don't know how much damage Song took in this being a 5 round fight. I mean, it was back and forth, a shit ton of leg kicks. But you know how these guys are. I mean, they fight pretty quick, and Cheeto likes to fight quick. So I think that's a wonderful call out and definitely a good fight to line up here in the future.
So I chickened out betting on Song this week. I had bet on him the week before, and an underdog odds. That would have been nice. I did hit my bet this week. It was Marcos Rogério de Lima in a
Nice.
close decision victory over Waldo Cortez Acosta. He looked good for a lot of the fight, and then looked pretty bad for the rest of it.
Yeah.
Not a whole lot happened in that fight
Gassed out.
altogether. So
He'd been
not the
doing the damn thing for a while too. That's the thing. I mean, I talked about it last week. He'd been in the UFC since I think 2014. I mean, that's slanging a lot of leather in the heavyweight division for a minute.
co-main event, Caio Bohio and Mikal Oleksiychuk. Caio looked great. I mean, this is his first finish
Yeah.
in the UFC after he has been undefeated since coming off of the Contender Series. He was fired up about the finish. He wants a ranked opponent, called out Derek Brunson. I
Oh,
mean,
geez.
I don't
That's
have
a
a
little
problem
high.
with it.
Yeah.
But it'd be a big step up in competition compared to who he's been facing at middleweight.
Yeah, and that's a huge win over Owen Sage. It's again another guy that's not easy to walk through and not control. And I mean, Kyle looked phenomenal, like you say, looked in great shape. His game plan was great, you know, to get a submission win. On the feet, too. He was not afraid to exchange with Owen Sage. And I mean, he's another guy that's getting better and better every fight. I mean, I wasn't convinced on him. I said he needed a finish. He got this finish. Okay, now you're in the, you know, pay attention booth. And I think that's one thing, you know, middleweight is not the deepest division. It's definitely a division you can climb quick. We've seen several guys do that. We've seen a lot of guys climb and then get dethroned. At the same time, I mean, he's always an enjoyable fighter. You've been saying it. He's dominant in every one of his fights. Now that he's got some, you know, finish tactics there, I mean, there's a lot of fun matchups for him. And yeah, I mean, if they want to run something like that, you know, get a veteran, get a, you know, guy that's fought basically everybody in the middleweight division. If Brunson wants to sign on the dotted line and take a chance, go ahead.
Do you think he should get a ranked opponent?
I think he needs to get, personally, I think he needs to get somebody that fell out of the rankings. I think an Edmund Shabazian type guy, you know, somebody that's been in and out, maybe somebody that's come down to middleweight from light heavyweight. I mean, something of that nature. But yeah, I don't think someone that's got a number next to their name as of right now. I think somebody that is has fallen out of, you know, while we talk on it just real quick, besides that, I'm just looking at some of the guys that have. Edmund Shabazian, I think he might be lined up right now. I mean, someone like him, Brad Tavares just came off a loss. I mean, Brad would be a big test and a fun fight for him. And there's plenty of other guys in middleweight that aren't ranked either that have fought guys that have been ranked. I mean, maybe I could see him like a Brendan Allen, maybe if they want to do that, a Chris Curtis. Chris Curtis is always down the bang too, down the road, a fight like that. But I don't know.
He is already lined up to fight.
I thought so too. Yeah. I don't know about jumping to a number eight Derek Brunson that has been fighting top tier guys, or at least guys that were climbing to the top for the last 3 years. I don't think that might be a little quick, but who knows? The UFC might want to push him just because of what he's been doing.
Also at middleweight, Rodolfo Vieira got a win, this time a submission win over Cody Brundage. He looked like he was going to get finished in the
good
first round.
God, Brundage was throwing just clubs at him, man. I thought he was going to go out.
Yeah, but once he got him down at the end of the first round, he realized that it was the path to victory. He got a hold of him early in the second and
another
did get
the
quick submission victory. And he was happy about it. He had a couple losses after coming in so hyped to the UFC. At featherweight, Julian Arosa got knocked out several times and then finished in a minute and a half against Fernando Padilla. Man, this guy looked like a weapon. He is long, lanky, great jab, great teep kicks.
Good for
obviously
that division.
There's going to be a style to beat it, but the matchup he had against Julian Arosa looked like it was tailor made for him, and he was lighting him up in the first couple minutes of that.
Yeah, and he doesn't even seem that fast. I mean, like you said, his body type. I mean, he's a big, long, lanky guy for featherweight. And, you know, they can say what they want, and Arosa didn't like the early stoppage the way it looked. I mean, he was getting hurt bad. He was dropped twice. I mean, he went very limp on both, popped up. I mean, I still think, like I've said before, I think he would have still gotten finished in that, another 30 seconds. But that he made quick work of them. And, yeah, weapon's a great way to describe him. I mean, that is another kid to keep an eye out in featherweight division coming in, good record, good experience. And if he fights like that, okay, let's see how he does against other guys that like to stand up, other different, you know, get some wrestlers involved. But yeah, very, very impressed. And especially against Julian Arosa, that's been doing it for a while now.
And kicking off the main card, we had Trey Waters stepping in on short notice and just beating Josh Quinlan. The entire duration of that fight, taking Josh Quinlan's O, giving him his first loss, and Trey Waters steps in and gets a victory on short notice in the UFC.
He showed up at the right time. I mean, that's the way to do it on a short notice fight, and especially a guy that came off a loss on the Contender Series to come in and be able to, upset someone like Quinlan. They just had a huge knockout in his last fight, like we said, against James Witt. So, yeah, he came in at the right time and did work.
So that's the main card. To me, the big takeaway is Song Yadong looked outstanding. Ricky Simone didn't look bad. That was a great fight. Kayo looked great against Oleg Sejuk. And keep an eye out for Fernando Padilla.
Big time. Yep, I agree 100%. And I mean, and again, another good fight card on a fight night. Good names, good momentum. And
I don't know if it was a good fight card. I mean, those three things is pretty much all that mattered at all.
Well, the main card, at least. Yeah, I mean, the fight nights have not been the greatest on the prelims. We know, and then that happens. But I'm saying, as far as a fight night card with so many, you got to remember too, Song and them were supposed to fight a while back, and you also lost Suzuki and on this fight against Renato Moicano. I mean, this card was in shambles to begin with. Being able to move them in really saved it, and it still didn't end up being terrible. I'm not saying it was the greatest one in the world, but I mean, the outcome's definitely, and some pretty
Thank
good
God
back
we
and
had
forth
that
fights.
Fight.
Yeah.
So this week we've got a UFC pay-per-view, which, as far as pay-per-views go, is all right.
It's okay,
but
yeah.
it is the best card we've had in the last few weeks. So Aljamain Sterling and Henry Cejudo at the top of the card. We got Aljamain Sterling, bantamweight title or champion, Henry Cejudo coming out of retirement, former bantamweight and flyweight champion. He is a slight favorite in this. I honestly am surprised that Aljamain Sterling is not a favorite in this. Henry Cejudo, having not fought in a couple of years, Aljamain looking as great as he has since Henry's walked away. I like Aljamain in this fight. I know a lot of smart people picking Henry, though.
Well, you got a lot of questions that have been answered by a lot of people in a similar boat. Like, they've been comparing to John Jones. You know, John Jones takes big layoffs, comes back, and shocks the world. This is what Henry Cejudo's already done in the past. You saw what he did when he came back and fought Dom. You saw what he did, you know, when he took the belt from DJ. I mean, every fight he is surprised people that said that there's no way. I think the mindset, I think the tactics, I think going in there calculated but violent like he is, that's something that Aljamain has got to prepare for. I mean, Aljamain is the greatest bantamweight that we have right now. He's obviously holding the belt for a reason, but Aljamain is also going against someone that has been countered out a lot of times and proved people wrong, and that's a scary man to deal with. And Aljamain knows that he's got a fight coming to him. I mean, this is not like what he is. You know, Petr Yan, we kept seeing a decline in his skill level and holes and people figuring out those holes. I mean, with Henry, we have not seen that in a while. You know, Henry is the guy that finds the holes and makes the changes and upsets and, or does big time damage to somebody that you haven't seen taking that type of damage. I think that's a similar fight that can happen here. And I think that's why people are leaning towards Cejudo, minus the age, minus the layoff. He is a champion, an ex-champion for a reason. He is a gold medalist. And, you know, like I said, in the last 5 years, look what he's done. So this is a super intriguing fight. I mean, Aljo is going to have his hands full. And also Henry is going to have to deal with a guy that he hasn't fought in a while. He hasn't fought somebody like Aljamain Sterling. He's fought a lot of different type of fighters up until this point.
I am looking forward to that one. As much as I don't like both of these guys, I am looking forward to seeing how that fight goes.
Yeah, agreed.
At welterweight, the co-main, I mean, as of like a week ago, this became a fight. Bilal Muhammad and Gilbert Burns. And can't say I like Bilal that much either, but I want to see how this fight goes. Like, this is a really important fight for the welterweight division.
It is.
Really hoping Burns has what it takes in this one.
Quick turnaround for Burns, too. Just got done fighting Masvidal, 5 weeks ago?
But quick turnaround for Bilal, just getting off the couch like 5 days ago.
That's
coming
the
off
question.
Ramadan. I mean, I see Gilbert Burns as a minus 130 this week, and I want to make him a bet for me. Because I think he like you said, he's coming out of a fight camp. Bilal has not been preparing for a fight. By all accounts, he has a lot of weight to lose before this kicks off.
Yeah.
And we saw how good Gilbert Burns looked against Jorge. He just washed him. Not to say Jorge is with Bilal right now, but I like Gilbert Burns is this one, and I think he should be a bigger favorite.
Yeah, and I agree with, I mean, the big thing is definitely the weight, you know, coming off, like you said, Ramadan, that amount of cut. We know what cutting can do to guys. We know what it can do to their chin, what it can do to their gas tank. That's why I'm staying away from Bilal also, because Gilbert is always in shape. Gilbert is always training to be a killer. And that's how he's been approaching every fight. And we've seen how well it's gone for him. So I think it's a wonderful bet. I agree. I think he should be more of a favorite in this. But Bilal has surprised us and upset me, especially on the fights that he has won, how he's won them. Like I said, I don't enjoy his style of fighting, but at the same time, a win's a win. And I mean, that's what he's been good at of recent. I mean, this is a put up or shut up, and this is a huge fight, like you said, for the welterweight, because this is going to determine who we're going to be talking about next. That's going to be potentially fighting for the belt here down the road, you know, once everything gets shook up top.
I'd really like to believe that Colby Covington gets the next one, and the winner of this gets the one after that. That's how it should be.
100%. I agree.
100%. If the winner of this doesn't get the next one, I hope we get there. I don't know. There's just so many screwy things that are going on right now.
Yeah. And it's a great co-main. I mean, that's the anytime you have Gilbert Burns on a co-main, I feel like he always shows up. And but again, going back to Bilal is not an easy guy to put away, that's for sure. And Bilal is also a guy that figures fights out and knows how to win with maybe not the most entertaining tactics, but he knows how to win. So this is very, very intriguing.
Another fight that may be for number one contender spot is Jessica Andrade and Yan Xiaonan.
Yes.
That strawweight division is also really tricky at the top. Who knows who's going to get the next spot? But the winner of this is going to have as good a shot at it as anyone, especially if it's Andrade. You know how that whole situation went down when she lost it to Weili the first time. Yan gets it. I mean, now we got two Chinese champions potentially fighting. I mean, you would think the winner of this is sitting pretty in the strawweight division. So another meaningful fight. And Jessica Andrade is nearly 2-1 favorite in this one. I like her.
Yeah, I like her too. She was actually going to be my potential bet. I mean, for me, what I like about Andrade is she always seems to shine in these moments when she's not fighting for the belt or when she's not, you know, in a fight with a champion that's already been holding the belt. But I feel like every other girl underneath her, I mean, she just pieces up and completely controls the fight. And Yan has not looked as dominant of recent, and she has lost to a couple girls in that division that possibly she was a 50-50 toss up against. And yeah, I think Andrade, just with her tenacity and also experience, I mean, she's fought a lot of girls in both weight classes. So I'm in the same boat. I think Jessica can, you know, control this, completely dominate, and be able to, you know, put her name right back in the hat of being able to fight for a belt here.
And then we got two featherweight bouts to start off the main card. One is Mostsarov, Loyev, and Bryce Mitchell. And this was supposed to be the main event of a fight night months ago. So that's awesome that we're getting this fight that we looked like we were never going to get. And for, I mean, that is a main event of a fight night card worthy. It was at the time when Bryce had not lost. Neither of them had lost at the time. Mostsarov is still undefeated, I believe.
Yeah.
But to get that here, that's great. And I like Bryce Mitchell at a +220 underdog. That seems not too bad.
I was going to ask you about that. What do you think about the odds on that they had, you know, -255 for Ivlov and 215 for Bryce? I mean, do you think that's a little too stretched?
I mean, I'll be playing Bryce.
Yeah, I we've seen what Bryce can do, and how he, again, another guy that can shock the world. And when you think he can't do something, he does it, and he surprises everybody. And his jiu-jitsu game is top-notch. His stand-up, he seems to figure guys out and seems to weather a storm and wait till he can pounce. Yeah, you cannot count Bryce out at all. But Ivlov is another type of fighter that, I mean, he's got all the tools. He's got potential. He's got the potential to be a big name in that division and shake things up, but I haven't seen enough of him yet to see it, say that he is that next guy to keep an eye out for, kind of like what we saw with Giga. You know, when Giga came in, that was a guy to worry about, and then you saw what happened to Giga. A win over Bryce Mitchell says a lot. And also, like you said, that this was going to be a headliner before. So, I mean, these guys are probably going to bring it to the wood here to make sure, because they've lost that big high-level spot.
And kicking off the main card is Kron Gracie and Charles Jourdain. First time we've seen Kron Gracie in a long time, and he's coming back against Charles Jourdain. This should be a fun fight, but my prediction is Kron catches him at the end and wraps him up. Yeah,
I could see that. I just know Jourdain, his gas tank in fights, even the later rounds, he seems to keep bringing it. He seems to be a guy that can still put you out. And Kron obviously doesn't have the stand up and have the boxing and just the overall stand up game that I think Charles does. I mean, I'm on the other end. I think Charles ends up maybe hurting him later in the round and maybe beating him up and getting him down on the ground. I think Kron, with that much layoff, Kron has not had that many MMA fights. Charles has been super active. All of his fights are entertaining, win or lose. I think the odds are exactly right, but I think Charles, I'm picking him to, you know, say, Kron, you got to stay more active if you're going to fight guys like me.
Prelims? Any ones you are tuning in early for?
Man, I mean, anything Drew Dober fighting Matt Frivola, and Frivola just came off that big knockout of Otsman, I mean, I think this could be a staying up banger war, and you've seen Drew Dober. He'll go in there and sling the leather. He'll get taken, you know, dropped a few times and come back and win a fight. And I mean, I think Dober can go in there, lay the wood also. I would hope that that's a back and forth. I mean, that could be potential fight of the night. That could be somebody going to sleep early too.
It definitely could be a fight of the night. Both those guys can bang. That's probably the winner right there.
And Drew and Dober, though, is big. I mean, Frivola is not that big of a lightweight. I can see also size being a factor in this. But I'd love to see both those guys stand, no one shoot, and just see who drops first.
Anything else?
My bet for the week, after going over all that women's strawweight, Marina Rodriguez versus Viviana Janardova, I think Rodriguez is still top class in that division. I think she's fought nothing but the best girls, and the loss that she has, it makes total sense. Minus 135 this week, favorite. I'm going to pick her. I think she can control that fight, probably walk away with a decision in that. So that'll be my bet this week, since everybody else was pretty stretched out on the favorites.
All right. Anything want to touch on before we call it a week?
Well, we had a couple fights announced, nothing ginormous, but a couple fights that we've been waiting on, or just waiting to see the fighters lined up. I was taking a look today. I'm trying to look here. So Vicente Luque got officially lined up with Rafael dos Anjos. I think that's a great fight. I think RDA is always fun to watch. He's a huge test for anybody, especially someone like Vicente that was ripping up through the rankings, fighting all the big boys. I love that fight. I think that's a great one. Cody Garbrandt's coming back against Mauro Bautista. Obviously, anytime Cody's fighting, I want to see if he can continue to beat up these lower level guys compared to him, you know, statistically on paper. I like seeing that. There was a few smaller other fights that were announced. Max Griffin's coming back. He's fighting Michael Morales. And then there was, I think, Nicholas, another one that kind of surprised him, but Nicholas Dalby versus Mulam Salikov. I like that fight. That's your buddy, the Kung Fu, correct?
Mm-hmm.
I like that fight a lot. And then Maxim Grishin versus Philip Lenz, man, light heavyweight. Philip Lenz coming down from heavyweight. Grishin has been a guy that watched. I think he fought at heavyweight too, didn't he? Or has he only been a light heavyweight? I can't remember if those guys have dropped down. But some decent matchups. I mean, not as much as we saw last week when we talked about it. There was a bunch of new fights. But, yeah, some more added to the list, man. I mean, they're just ticking away, adding more and more every week.
You see, Manel Kopp had another opponent fall out.
Yeah, imagine that. I don't know what in the world's going on. I guess everybody's scared to fight Kopp.
That's what he's claiming, at least. It's unfortunate. I'd like to see that guy get in there and think if he gets a few good chances, he has a chance to make a run at the title. But can't do that when you're not getting the fight. So,
well, that's the problem, man. I mean, everything that's happened with him is it's just over and over again prolonging him getting in there and getting in momentum and getting any fights that, you know, matter for him. And I mean, Kopp has been showing up, so I do feel bad for him, man. I mean, I want to see him fight. I want to see what he's about. I tell you what I don't want to see anymore is bare knuckle fighting with Luke Rockhold. I'm glad he's done with that. He got his teeth snapped off this weekend and did not look that great against Mike Perry, I can tell you that.
No, but Mike Perry is someone I do want to see keep bare knuckle boxing.
Dude, he's perfect for it. He is exactly what bare knuckle boxing needs. And also phenomenal all around fight with Eddie Alvarez and Chad Mendez, man. I mean, that was an absolute war. And I mean, they had Conor McGregor on the side, half drunk, calling out, coaching both guys, and got to have a face off with Mike Perry at the end. So what else do you need?
Yeah, maybe Rockhold's face being absolutely broken would have been better, but man,
I think the job was done.
So we got UFC 288 this weekend, and then we've got a decent fight night card headlined by heavyweights the following week after that, and several ranked fights on that card. So hopefully no one falls off this UFC 288 and we get the full strength.
Yeah, it'd be nice to keep everybody healthy and no one get hurt.
Because there's some of these, if they fall off this card, it becomes, oh, man.
It's pretty light.
Yeah, so let's not put it out there, and look forward to watching them all.
Till next time.